I've had a lot of good teachers in my life, as I'm sure all of you had. Some of them memorable, some of them not so memorable. I remember Miss Tashinsky. She was my second grade teacher. She was a blonde bombshell. She was the first love of my life. She taught me about love. Then there was Coach Hammer. He was one of my high school teachers. He was a history teacher and also my wrestling coach. He is the one who taught me most about endurance. And then there's other teachers in life, right? Like my grandpa. He's a crazy old man. He's just gotten crazier with age. Taught me a lot of things. The best lesson he ever taught me was how to cheat at poker. I've robbed him of a lot of money that way. And then there's my grandma, who taught me how to cook. I've learned a lot of things from a lot of people, and I'm sure you have too. I've had people in college and seminary teach me about Jesus and grace, but by far the greatest teacher I've ever had, the person that I learned the most about Jesus from, was a prostitute. The gospel writer Luke doesn't identify her by name. She could be Mary Magdalene. She could be Steve, okay? Or Mary of Bethany, we really don't know. One out of four women in that day and age were named Mary. It's kind of hard to keep track of everyone. We don't know much about her. We can assume a few things, though. We can assume that as a child, she didn't play dress up as a lady of the night. We can assume that she did not dream of the day when men would take advantage of her for a few bucks. We can assume that this was not where she wanted to be in life, and yet here she was occupying one of the oldest professions as a prostitute. But let me back up for a moment. Jesus in Luke 7 is eating with a guy named Simon and a bunch of Simon's friends, and they were all Pharisees. They were Jewish religious leaders, teachers of the law in many ways. From the very fact that Simon invited Jesus over, it shows that he viewed him as the same status, because that's how it worked at the time. You didn't invite people over who were super different from you. This table and this meal, this party, was meant for prestigious people, for teachers of the law, for people who had their act together. And there Jesus is with him. There was a lot of honor at this table, but all of that was about to be ruined. This woman walks in the door, and they immediately identify her as one who is known in the city. They call her a sinner, probably a nicer way than saying she's a prostitute at mealtime. That's what we're dealing with. So not only does this unnamed woman spoil a party by coming in uninvited, but then she does something that's just a tad bit unheard of. She touches another man, a man who's not her husband, a man who's in fact the Son of God, Jesus Christ. She touches him. She erupts his bubble. Think of it like this, okay? So I love hugging people. I love being friendly with people, but I have a definite bubble when people are talking to me, okay? As an example, John, can I use you for a minute? Can you stand up? This is a healthy distance to talk to me right here, okay? Put it in your brains, this right here, about 1 yard is a healthy distance, okay? When people try and get closer to me, go ahead, I often step back, and then I'll take this position. If somebody keeps coming at me, I just stand like this, and I've been tempted at times to like just reach out my hand, and it's like, you've come this far, no further, okay? The pastor's bubble is right here. Thank you, John. I do not like it when people get in my bubble. It makes me feel weird. And so I'm just backing up or I'm putting my hand out. And I think that's one of the hard things with understanding this story is because we expect Jesus, the Son of God, and we expect God to have some bubble. We expect God to be distant from us. I mean, that's how a lot of us were raised. This is why Muslims have such a hard time understanding this particular story. Why, first of all, would God come down and be a human? But second of all, why would he allow himself to be touched by a kind of woman like this? And maybe that's how we all kind of view God, as a distant individual who puts out his hand and says, you've come this far, but no further. In the very act of letting this woman, this sinful, dirty woman, touch him, Jesus teaches us that God is not distant. Jesus teaches us that not only does God not push people away, but in fact welcomes the dirtiest, messiest, weirdest people to touch and to feel. And that's what this woman does. If you can, just travel with me a little bit back in your minds to this scene and just picture her movements. Picture what she does. The author, Chad Bird, writes about her eyes. The eyes that had glanced upon countless men nude in her bedroom, those eyes now streamed out tears onto the feet of the Son of God. And that hair which had been splayed behind her on her bed as she offered up her sexual services, that hair dried the feet at which angels offer adoration. And those hands which had undressed men, touched them in private places and held a few coins in exchange for their pleasure, those hands cradle the feet of the most holy Messiah. And that mouth, which had done, well, what prostitutes do with their mouth, that mouth kissed the skin of the pure and spotless Lord Jesus. This is a scandal. This is not right, no matter what way you put it. And Simon says it. Simon, having already felt like his party was ruined, he expresses the fact that why is this Jesus guy letting this woman with this kind of reputation put her hands on him at all? You can tell by the way he talks that he's looking at her thinking, like, not only do you not belong in my house, but you certainly do not belong at this table, because this table is for upright individuals who have their life together. But to be honest, we have the same mindset a lot of times, don't we? That's how we think. Here's a question. If an individual struggling with gender dysphoria were to walk through those doors right now, dressed in a sundress and high heels with hairy legs and with 5 o'clock shadow, would he or she be welcomed here? If a man with tattoos up to his neck and on his face came in smelling just a tad bit like whiskey and sat next to you in the pew, would you lean over and smile and put out your hand? If a prostitute, smelling of whatever dank perfume she found on the discount rack, came in with her mascara still running after a night of being taken advantage of, came and knelt with you before the table that God has set, would you touch her? It's a hard reality for us to accept. It's hard to tell this truth, but we all know it. We have an issue in our lives with viewing other people as different than us. It's as though the characteristics of someone else in our life are more unlovable than the characteristics that we have. It's as though other people are more unlovable than we are. It's as though people out there have more sin than we do, that their debts are more to pay than us. I mean, let's just get right down to it. We are better than everyone else, right? And this is the philosophy that has gone throughout so many people's lives that have resulted in divorces and lost friendships and hurt feelings. This is why when people in this church see someone that they don't like in the Family Life Center, they will go the opposite direction to avoid them. This is why countless churches across America and our world are dying. I mean, if we can't even look at one another with a good light, if we can't even look at one another as forgiven children of God, how are we ever expected to look at somebody who walks in off the street that way with all of their baggage? Are we really better? Maybe how Jesus deals with the situation is just a tad bit different than we would. See, as this woman is touching his feet, Jesus looks at Simon, and it doesn't say this in the text, but I can picture Jesus kind of lifting up her head and turning it towards Simon and saying, "Do you see this woman?" The obvious answer is yes, right? She's right there. Maybe the better question is, do you see yourself in this woman? Do you see yourself as the person who has prostituted yourself out to the highest bidder? Do you see yourself as someone whose mouth has spewed vile things about others as you try and tear them down? Do you view yourself as the person whose hands have grabbed onto every vice and addiction and idol in the world? Do you see yourself in this woman? Do you see this woman? Because Jesus does. Jesus sees her for all that she is, a prostitute. I've had a lot of teachers in my life, but the person I learned the most about grace and about Jesus from was a prostitute. We have this false idea that we are better off than we actually are. And yet one day we'll realize that that's not the case, because the cross doesn't tell a story of pretty good people who are just getting better. The cross instead tells a story of people who are far worse off than they ever expected, and yet of a Jesus who is far more gracious than we give him credit for. I learned everything about grace from a prostitute. A prostitute who came and anointed the feet that would eventually be nailed to a cross for her. A prostitute who touched Jesus, maybe the first guy who didn't pay to be touched by her. A prostitute who experienced the undiluted, unwatered down, straight up, not on the rocks, grace of Jesus Christ. I learned everything about Jesus from a prostitute. We're going to be tempted in life to be a bit like Simon, to identify people by words like sinner or prostitute or jerk face or too far gone or disgraced or a sexual deviant or gay. Maybe we'll even identify them by the color of their skin. Take your name tag off right now and look at it. Not really words that we like throwing around, right? We don't want to be called prostitutes. We don't want to be called idiots or stupid. See, the beauty is that Jesus shows us this isn't how he identifies us. These words are words that you and I use. These aren't the words that Jesus uses to describe his beloved people. Instead, he uses words like baptized and sanctified, made holy, beautiful, loved, and even the word that he used for a common prostitute, forgiven. We don't need these anymore. Just crumple them up. These words do not describe us. These words do not define us. There is one word above all else that defines who we are: loved by God. And because we are loved by God, we are forgiven, we are made new. We experience that through the waters of baptism, where Jesus brings us into his death and raises us up to new life. We experience that in Holy Communion, where we experience God face to face in his body and blood, and we experience it in absolution. You know, so often we say, I, a poor, miserable sinner. Well, how miserable do I need to be for God to forgive me? He offers it no matter what degree of miserable you are, because he loves you. We don't need these words to define us, because we are loved by God and forgiven, just like that prostitute. We're going to be tempted, though, to be like Simon in all of our actions. We're going to be tempted to surround our tables with people who look like us and talk like us, people who we identify as on the same level as we are, maybe who have the same grade of sin that we do. And yet Jesus shows us a different reality, a reality where around his table, the only thing that matters is your faith in him. There are no qualifiers to the table that Jesus sets, where he offers his body and blood, with race, or with sexuality, or with past. I learned that from a prostitute. And Jesus loves prostitutes. And he loves you. And so do I. Amen.